Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there really is no doubt that throughout the scriptures, our Lord God tells us, actually urges us to give Him thanksgiving for everything. And we're to do it continually. Of course, we're well aware of the fact, and I'm sure that we do this, that He has given us the greatest gift of all, namely salvation from sin and death. Because of our rebellion, because of our unfaithfulness, because we continually break those commandments, we were under God's wrath, and we were under His punishment. Death, eternal separation from Him. That's what we deserved. And yet, God, even though we would hurt Him, even though we would anger Him by our disobedience, He loved us still so much that He wanted us not to suffer all of that, but to be His. To be His children now, to live with Him forever in heaven. And so, He makes it a reality. He does it through His very own Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, who is the Son of God, God Himself, second person of the Trinity, willingly comes into this world and becomes a man. And then, as Dee pointed out, 33 years after His birth, He took upon Himself God's anger for our sins. He took upon Himself God's punishment that we were to have to suffer because of our sins upon Himself. He took them and carried them to the cross. And as He was crucified, and as He died, and as He was buried, He defeated sin once and for all. And then on the third day, when He was raised again from the dead, He defeated death and the grave. And so now, through faith in Him as our Savior, a faith, by the way, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts through the gospel. We have forgiveness. We're perfect. We're holy in the eyes of God. We're His sons. We're His daughters. And we will live with Him forever in the mansions that Jesus has already prepared for us. Truly, there's no greater gift than this. We know it. And I am sure that we do give Him praise and thanksgiving. But we also know that our Lord God, He gives us so many other things as well. I mean, the fact that we have life, period, that comes from Him. Who we are, God made us. That comes from Him. The special gifts that you may have, which, you know, varies from individual to individual, that's a gift from God. Everything that you possess, it all comes from God. You know, even these things, these simple things that I certainly don't think about, the fact that you can get up, the fact that you can walk, although it may hurt, the fact that you may be able to smell, see, the fact that you may be able to work, the fact that you may be able to enjoy retirement, where does that all come from? It comes from God. Everything comes from God. He certainly deserves our praise and thanksgiving. And you know what? We should even be praising Him and thanking Him when things are bad in our lives. You know, when we have those difficulties, when the trials and tribulations are just so great that we feel like we're just going to get crushed, we're to give Him praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because you see, we are His children. He doesn't leave us out there in the sludge and the scum of the evil. No, he's at our side. He takes us by our hand and guides us and leads us. And if he has to, he will even pick us up and carry us through the sludge of the evil. And he does it in such a way that ultimately he's in control. He does it in such a way that he does it really for our good. He's working things in our very own lives for our good, for a special purpose that he may very well have called us for. And what's even better yet, even as we go through all of this sludge, he's there, and he's going to let no one snatch us out of his hand. He's going to let no one take away from us forgiveness and salvation. He needs to be praised and thanked. We don't deserve any of it. We don't earn any of it. He just gives it to us out of love. But now I have to tell you that today's New Testament lesson, as always, puts a little bit of a different twist on this whole idea of Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, it's one of those texts that really went through my heart. You see, the New Testament lesson for today, it's actually the beginning of Paul's first letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth. Now, you've already heard me tell you what a mess that congregation was. There were numerous factions. It was deeply divided. They were constantly arguing. There were attitudes of self-centeredness and then also self-righteousness. There was no longer any love amongst them. They would not help, support, encourage one another. And on top of it, it led them to deny the oneness of Christ, the oneness of baptism. And boy, did it ever screw up the way they celebrated communion. Because you see, they felt that wine, first ones in line, it was all theirs. So a number of them got so sloppy drunk that they were probably falling over. And then when they would have their potluck dinners, those in the front of the line, they heaped their plates up like this so that no one in the back of the line had anything to eat. What a mess. I'm going to tell you something. If I ever received a call to that congregation to be their pastor, I would have been just like Noah or Jonah. I would have ran the other way. That's how bad it was. Well, Paul hears about this mess, and he is upset. He really is angry. But lo and behold, before he tackles the mess that's there, he does something that's very interesting. I'd like to read this to you. Please bear with me. This is what he writes. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all of your speaking and all of your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Do you hear what he's doing there? First and foremost, he's giving thanksgiving to God for the people in that congregation, even though they were making a mess out of things. And he wasn't doing this to butter them up. Okay. You know, there's a cliche, what a little sweetness will get you so far. He wasn't doing it for that. He was sincere. This is what hit me when I was reading this thing. Cut me to the heart. You know, when things go wrong in my life, do I ever give thanksgiving to God? Oh, no, I'm complaining. I don't know about you, but that's... I tell God how he's wrong. He must shake his head. And you know, there are those times, even in the pastorate, that what do I do? Complain. You don't ever want to go to a pastor's conference. Because let me tell you, pastors are very good at complaining, okay? They know how to complain about every little thing in their congregation. Some of it might be true. Some of it might be false. But you know what? How stupid that is. Because you see, we're not to complain. First and foremost, we are to give thanks. And you know, when I take a look back, how many times have I ever really said thank you to you? That I praise God for you? Probably not too much. And so I ask for your forgiveness. I would like to do this too. First of all, I do want you to know that I give thanksgiving to God for all of you, because by the work of the Spirit through the gospel, which works through word and through the sacraments, he has called you and has given you faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Each and every one of you, by God's grace, possesses forgiveness, life, and salvation. Hey, you're children of God, like I'm a child of God. We're all together. There's nothing more important than that. Salvation. Praise be to God that he did that here among you. I also want you to know that I give God praise and thanksgiving because in many ways I see a real appreciation for the gospel. Now, I have to admit that I have a tendency to probably overdo the gospel a little bit. I could be antinomian, you know. I'll preach the gospel so much that it could almost make it sound like, okay, boys, you're forgiven. You can go out and do whatever you want. No, I don't mean that. I've just always had trouble with that, you know, sanctification bit. It kind of hits me right here. But you do have an appreciation for the gospel. How many times have I heard, thank you for the gospel? I'll never forget one sermon in which I preached. It was based in Romans where Paul said, you know, you hold on to the gospel and you don't listen to anybody else. And I think I concluded that sermon by saying, hold on to that gospel. If any angel comes and preaches something else, don't listen. Even if I should stand here and I don't preach the gospel, I think I told you, then you pick me up and you throw me out the doors. And at that point, you all clap. Now, it could have been that you just figured, hey, we can get rid of him finally. But I really think it's because of the appreciation of the gospel. You know what it is. You know that it is the center, the core of Christianity. You know that it is the Christian life that flows from the gospel. I also want to give praise and thanksgiving to God because after 12 and a half years, it's interesting because our Lord God has certainly blessed you. He has enriched you in faith and in knowledge. You may not think so, but boy, you can see it really a lot of times in Bible classes. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that we used to say compared to today.
Not only that, but through those Bible classes, you, by sharing the gospel with me, have truly enriched me and increased my knowledge. And by the power of God, have been so helpful in building my faith. And then last but not least, I want to give praise and thanksgiving to God because, believe it or not, this congregation does not lack any spiritual gift. We have people in this congregation who are great with music. We have people in this congregation who are fantastic teachers. We have people in this congregation who are very, very good, gifted leaders. We have people in this congregation who are extremely good listeners. We have people in this congregation who show compassion that is just unbelievable to me. We have people in this congregation who are very willing and able to visit others who are sick. We have people in this congregation who are truly so good with their hands. But man alive, they can fix and repair anything in this place so that we can continue to do ministry. On and on and on it goes. This congregation does not lack any spiritual gift, any gift at all. In order that we as his people may continue to grow ourselves and that we may be able to reach out with the gospel. Don't get a big head. Now I'm going to tell you what's wrong. No. Friends, as I think about this, I don't know what happens among congregations, my own congregations. I never hear the complaining, everybody stays away from me. But I have been in vacancy churches, and boy, do I ever hear the complaining about pastors and all this kind of stuff. And of course, other people too. Maybe as I needed to stop, maybe all of us should stop and think about one another. And think about what God has done. And actually give praise and thanksgiving for even the people in this congregation. Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because he has blessed it. And through it, he's blessed you. And you know, once we stop complaining, and we start giving God the praise and thanksgiving he deserves, I think we're going to find that we are more open to one another. We support one another. We build one another up in the gospel. And you know what? We become stronger in the Lord. And how important that is. Because you see, we got to remain faithful to Christ so that we can obtain the gift of eternal life. And that's hard, isn't it? But, you know, when we're doing what we're doing, by the gospel, he will keep us firm. He will keep us standing to the end so that when that time comes, all of us will finally be in the perfect church, Christ church, in heaven. And I will guarantee you something. That is indeed what will happen. Because Paul said, God is faithful. He will do it. I praise God for you. Amen.